Drawing Bob. I love Julia's pictures of Bob. She draws him flying across the page, a blur of feet and fur. She draws him motionless, peeking out from behind a trash can with a soft hill of my belly. Sometimes in her drawings, Julia gives Bob wings or a lion's mane. Once, she gave him a tortoise shell. But the best thing she ever gave him wasn't a drawing. Julia gave Bob his name. For a long time, no one knew what to call Bob. Now and then, a mall worker would try to approach him with a tidbit.
"Here, doggy,"
they'd call, holding out a French fry.
"Come on, Pooch,"
they'd say.
"How about a little piece of sandwich?"
But he would always vanish into the shadows before anyone could get too close. One afternoon, Julia decided to draw the little dog curled up into the corner of my domain. First, she watched him for a long time, chewing on her thumbnail. I could tell she was looking at him the way an artist looks at the world when she's trying to understand it. Finally, she grabbed her pencil and set to work. When she was finished, she held up the page. There he was, the tiny, big-eared dog. He was smart and cunning, but his gaze was wistful. Under the picture were three bold, confident marks, circled in black. I was pretty certain it was a word, even though I couldn't read it. Julia's father peered over her shoulder.
"That's him exactly,"
he said, nodding. He pointed to the circled marks.
"I didn't realize his name was Bob,"
he said.
"Me either,"
said Julia. She smiled.
"I had to draw him first."
Bob and Julia. Bob will not let humans touch him. He says their scent upsets his digestion. But every now and then I see him sitting at Julia's feet. Her fingers move gently just behind his right ear. Mac. Usually Mac leaves after the last show, but tonight he is in his office working late. When he's done, he stops by my domain and stares at me for a long time while he drinks from a brown bottle. George joins him, broom in hand, and Mac says the things he always says.
"How about that game last night?"
And,
"Business has been slow, but it'll get better, you'll see."
And,
"Don't forget to empty the trash."
Mac glances over at the picture Julia is drawing.
"What are you making?"
he asks.
"It's for my mom,"
Julia says.
"It's a flying dog."
She holds up her drawing, eyeing it critically.
"She likes airplanes and dogs."
Mac murmurs, sounding unconvinced. He looks at George.
"How's the wife doing anyway?"
"About the same,"
George says.
"She has good days and bad days."
"Yeah, don't we all?"
Mac says. Mac starts to leave, then pauses. He reaches into his pocket, pulls out a crumpled green bill, and presses it into George's hand.
"Here,"
Mac says with a shrug.
"Buy the kids some more crayons."
Mac is already out the door before George can yell,
"Thanks."
Not sleepy. "Stella," I say after Julia and her father go home, "I can't sleep."
"Of course you can,"
she says. "You are the..."
"You're the king of sleepers."
"Shh," Bob says from his perch on my belly.
"I'm dreaming about chili fries."
"I'm tired," I say. "But I'm not sleepy."
"What are you tired of?"
Stella asks. I think for a while. It's hard to put it into words. Gorillas are not complainers. We're dreamers, poets, philosophers, nap takers. I don't know exactly. I kick at my tire swing. I think I may be a little tired of my domain.
"That's because it's a cage,"
Bob tells me. Bob is not always tactful.
"I know,"
Stella says.
"It's a very small domain. And you're a very big gorilla,"
Bob adds. "Stella," I ask.
"Yes?"
"I noticed you were limping more than usual today. Is your leg bothering you?
Just a little,
Stella answers. I sigh. Bob resettles. His ears flick. He drools a bit, but I don't mind. I'm used to it.
Try eating something,
Stella says.
That always makes you happy.
I eat an old brown carrot. It doesn't help, but I don't tell Stella. She needs to sleep.
You could try remembering a good day,
Stella suggests.
That's what I do when I can't sleep.
Stella remembers every moment since she was born. Every scent, every sunset, every slight, every victory. You know I can't remember much, I say.
There's a difference,
Stella says gently.
Between can't remember and won't remember.
That's true, I admit. Not remembering can be difficult, but I've had a lot of time to work on it.
Memories are precious,
Stella adds.
They help tell us who we are. Try remembering all your keepers. You always liked Carl, the one with the harmonica.
Carl, yes. I remember how he gave me a coconut when I was still a juvenile. It took me all day to open. I try to recall other keepers I have known, the humans who cleaned my domain and prepared my food and sometimes kept me company. There was Juan, who poured Pepsis into my waiting mouth, and Katrina, who used to poke me with a broom when I was sleeping, and Ellen, who sang,
"How much is a monkey in the window?"
with a sad smile while she scrubbed my water bowl. And there was Gerald, who once brought me a box of fat, sweet strawberries. Gerald was my favorite keeper. I haven't had a real keeper in a long time. Max says he doesn't have the money to pay for an ape babysitter. These days, George cleans my cage, and Mac is the one who feeds me. When I think about all the people who have taken care of me, mostly it's Mac I recall, day in and day out, year after year after year. Mac, who bought me and raised me and says I'm no longer cute. As if a silverback could ever be cute. Moonlight falls on the frozen carousel, on the silent popcorn stand, on the stall of leather belts that smell like long gone cows. The heavy work of Stella's breathing sounds like the wind in trees, and I wait for sleep to find me. The Beetle. Mac gives me a new black crayon and a fresh pile of paper. It's time to work again. I smell the crayon, roll it in my hands, press the sharp point against my palm. There's nothing I love more than a new crayon. I search my domain for something to draw. What is black? An old banana peel would work, but I've eaten them all. Knot tag is brown. My little pool is blue. The yogurt raisin I'm saving for this afternoon is white, at least on the outside. Something moves in the corner. I have a visitor. A shiny beetle has stopped by. Bugs often wander through my domain on their way to somewhere else. Hello, beetle, I say. He freezes, silent. Bugs never want to chat. The beetle's an attractive bug with a body like a glossy nut. He's black as a starless night. That's it. I'll draw him. It's hard, making a picture of something new. I don't get the chance that often. But I try. I look at the beetle who's being kind enough not to move, then back at my paper. I draw his body, his legs, his little antenna, his sour expression. I'm lucky. The beetle stays all day. Usually bugs don't linger when they visit. I'm beginning to wonder if he's feeling all right. Bob, who's been known to munch on bugs from time to time, offers to eat him. I tell Bob that won't be necessary. I'm just finishing my last picture when Mac returns. George and Julia are with him. Mac enters my domain and picks up a drawing.
What the heck is this?
He asks.
Beats me what Ivan thinks he's drawing. This is a picture of nothing. A big, black nothing.
Julia's standing just outside my domain.
Can I see?
She asks. Mac holds my picture up to the window. Julia tilts her head. She squeezes one eye shut. Then she opens her eyes and scans my domain.
I know!
She exclaims.
It's a beetle! See that beetle over there by Ivan's pool?
Man, I just sprayed this place for bugs.
Mac walks over to the beetle and lifts his foot. Before Mac can stomp, the beetle skitters away, disappearing through a crack in the wall. Mac turns back to my drawings.
So you figure this is a beetle, huh? If you say so, kid.
Oh, that's a beetle for sure,
Julia says, smiling at me.
I know a beetle when I see one.
It's nice, I think, having a fellow artist around.